Presbyterian Church in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Thank you for joining us as we continue our look at the Shorter Catechism. This morning, we're going to look at question 23. What offices doth Christ execute as our Redeemer? Christ as our Redeemer executeth the offices of a prophet, of a priest, and of a king, both in his state of humiliation and exaltation. Now, as we think about the title, Christ, it's often thought of in the sense of a last name, Jesus Christ. That's why it's often translated Jesus the Christ, because it is talking about an office in and of itself. It's a title, the anointed one, the one who stands surety, the one who fulfills an office. Now, we've dealt in the past with what is an office. And an office is an entrustment by a superior to an inferior to discharge a duty. So, for example, when we think about the political sphere, when somebody is elected to the office, they are entrusted by the superior, in that case, the people, to an inferior, a person, to discharge a particular duty. Now, we often reverse this in our thinking that so-and-so is a superior, but, for example, the president is the one whom the whole people entrusts to discharge the executive office and to fulfill those titles. And so he is entrusted. He is the inferior to the superior. Now, we often think of this wrongly in a democratic sense, but it's much easier to understand in, say, a monarchy where the king entrusts his exchequer to basically write the checks and to make sure that all of the financial dealings of the kingdom are properly ordered. So, as we think of office, we need to think of it in that terms of the father, the superior, entrusts to the son, the inferior, the office of redeemer. Now, redeemer describes one who is going to the slave market, as it were, and purchasing slaves to sin, and bringing them into the kingdom of the Father. And in so doing, we often see what Calvin termed the munus triplex, the threefold office, prophet, priest, and king. And so, as we think of Christ as a prophet, this is both in fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, I will raise up for them a prophet like you, like Moses, from among the brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. Or we can think of in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. So Christ as the prophet is revealing to Peter what he is speaking on the day of Pentecost. Moses said, the Lord will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. So as Christ speaks through his ministers, those who hear are saved. Those who refuse, those who have no ears, those who will be destroyed. Long ago, at many times, many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. And so, yes, we had multiple prophets in the past, but we have one prophet, Christ, who speaks. And now, so that's the office of prophet, the office of priest. Now, each of these will receive a question in the catechism, so that's why I'm not defining what is a prophet, because I'm going to wait till the next video for that. In the one after that, I'll describe what a priest is, and after that, a king. But so as a priest, we see, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Skipping down in Hebrews, so also that Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." We could continue adding there, but it's important to note that in Christianity there is but one priest. Christ is the alone priest. Now the priesthood of all believers describes the ability of all to pray without going to a further mediator. That's discussion for another time. An important one, just not what this is talking about. Here as priest, we have the one who represents God to the people and the people to God. And so it is not proper to call your minister a priest because he is not fulfilling the priestly functions. He, other than pointing you to, do I pray for you? Yes. But my prayers are not more efficacious because of my office. Christ both laid down his life for you, and he's making that intercession. So that's why we have but one priest, because there's but one intercessor. There's one who lays down his life. And then his king. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. And so we see that he is the King of kings and Lord of lords, the one upon whom all government rests. And he executes all these three offices, both in his state of humiliation, as we'll see in a subsequent question. His state of humiliation begins at the conception in the womb of the Virgin Mary and continues through his death up until the resurrection. And his exaltation begins at the resurrection, continuing on in the ascension, and will be consummated in his return. Not concluded, consummated in his return, when he shall receive the praise and worship, and every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so, as I said, each of these will be explained in detail later. But as we think, Christ, the one who fills the office of surety, office, entrustment of a superior to an inferior to discharge a task, prophet, priest, and king, both in his state of humiliation and exaltation. So we have all these concepts draw together that Christ is the alone Savior. He alone is the one who brings salvation, both to Jews and to Gentiles, those who are near and those who are far off, to us and to our children. All these, Christ is our Redeemer. Thank you for joining us, and join us next time as we continue our look at the Shorter Catechism. Thank you, and God bless.